Welcome to Body Signals, a Cygnos podcast. I'm your host, Bill Tanser, Chief Data Scientist here at Cygnos. This is Season 5, Episode 1, the new Year's Resolution. Join Alyssa Wilson and myself as we discuss our New Year's resolutions, what worked and didn't work, and explore the possibility of starting a resolution any time of the year. Why should resolutions be confined to New Year's Day? Alyssa and I discussed taking a New Year's resolution mulligan starting with the first week of February when we recorded this episode. Specifically, we will discuss our personal resolutions, successes and failures, the concept of false hope syndrome, and why it makes sense to focus on smaller changes for lasting results. Reframing your goals as additive versus deprivational, Cygnos activities as perfect catalog for some New Year's resolutions, and some hot tips for staying on track during Super Bowl Sunday and Valentine's Day. This and so much more. Now on to today's show. Welcome back to Body Signals. I am so thrilled to have Alyssa Wilson back in the studio with us. Alyssa is a registered dietitian and one of the key people here at Cygnos. And more importantly, she is one of our favorite co-hosts. And we've got a special episode for you. We're recording this the first week of February, and I thought it'd be a good time to check in on New Year's resolutions. It's a big topic, especially for people that are on weight loss and wellness journeys. So, Alyssa, I was just wondering, do you have some New Year's resolutions and how are you doing on them?
Well, actually, I do have some New Year's resolutions this year, as I typically do every year, but I have learned because most of the time I do not keep them. I am probably part of a large percentage who fails at their New Year's resolutions at some point in January. And I've had resolutions before, like weight loss, go to the yoga studio 5 times a week, every week. But this year, I've actually made my resolutions a little bit different. And I've tried to set more realistic goals. And my first resolution is to increase my fiber intake and eat more vegetables.
Nice. That's a great resolution.
And, you know, this one is something that, you know, I am trying to be very realistic with it. My husband and I cook for dinner, so we'll usually have a couple servings of vegetables then. We'll eat some leftovers for lunch, but we just aren't getting as much as needed. I know the dietary guidelines recommend about 5 servings per day. And the previous guidelines were around 9 to 11 servings of fruits and veggies per day. So I'm really kind of aiming for those. And I will say one thing that's been really helpful is having the support of my husband who has the same goals and really just kind of, you know, cooking together, making extra at night, buying some, you know, grape tomatoes and mini bell peppers and even some greens powders just to like get those extra servings of vegetables in and having them in the fridge so I can easily grab them and include them in every meal. So That's my goal, and I've actually been sticking to it and experimenting with some new veggies. Like, you know, we recently made some cabbage steaks, roasted those, and some spaghetti squash, and so it makes a ton. So I'm able to keep that in the fridge and just kind of snack on that or add that to my meals.
We're going to talk later about cabbage steaks because that's a new one to me. I'm vegan, and I've never even heard that phrase, so we're going to talk.
And easy and very,
that sounds nuts. I'm really interested. And I love your goals. I love that you picked something that wasn't like, I'm going to lose X pounds. It because you picked something that was more within your control.
Yes. You know,
I think oftentimes we make resolutions where part of the resolution is within our control and part may be out of our control. And it's disappointing when we fail at those resolutions or we forget about them because we get overwhelmed with the part that's out of our control.
Yeah. Like in the past, I've made, okay, I want to lose weight or going to the yoga studio 5 times a week. That was a past goal. And you know what? I live in Memphis and we were snowed in for a week in January. So there's no way that I could have even gotten to the studio. or traveling for work. You know, there's no way that I could have physically been there. So even this year, you know, getting back into an exercise routine, but being consistent and not just going to the yoga studio, but doing things at home, going on walks, maybe a quick Peloton or a Pilates strength training at home, you know, just making it very realistic. So I'm setting myself up for success and rather than something that's just not attainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have any goals or New Year's resolutions?
You know, I typically don't do resolutions because it's been actually a fascination of mine. I've studied resolutions in terms of the academic research, but I do check in and I have like quarterly check-ins. So, you know, at the beginning of every quarter, I'll do a DEXA scan just to get a sense of my body composition. I'll typically do some blood work with my doctor and check in on my lipids and metabolic panels. But yeah, every once in a while I do a resolution, and thinking that we were going to do this episode, I actually did three resolutions this year. Two I'm doing well on. One I'm doing well on and two not so much. So I decided to devote at least 5 days a week to doing strength training this year. I'm actually doing well on that goal. I've got a 30-day streak going. I was doing lifting classes, but I ended up getting injured last year. This year, I started with a tonal that I have in my basement. I found when I was doing lifting classes, this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but I'd go into these classes. I'm 57 years old, and there'd be like these 20-year-olds that would be lifting like twice as much as I was lifting. And I know it's stupid, but I'd start loading up my bar with more and more weight to try and compete with these 20-year-olds. And of course, I was getting injured. Now in my basement with Tonal, I'm getting some results and I'm also injury-free. So I'm doing great on that.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, comparing ourselves to others, that was something that I was going to even like mention in today's podcast that we can probably get into a little bit later.
We'll definitely get into that. The second one was sleep. And I was doing pretty well with sleep. And then towards the end of this last year, began having problems, mostly with sleep interruption. So I got to bed relatively early, 9:30, but I was waking up at 2 a.m., not able to go back to sleep. Kind of fixed that, and then it fell apart again. I was worried about making this a resolution because I know personally, the more attention I pay to the sleep and trying to fix it, sometimes the more difficult it is to get good sleep. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was a smart thing to make a resolution on. I'm still trying to fix it, still waking up at 2 a.m. I think I'm going to actually drop trying to make that a resolution and go back to the fixes that we talked about on previous episodes of Body Signals to just try and relax and not stress out too much about it.
Yeah, maybe the stress is the interrupting factor on that. So don't pay any attention to it. Start with some small changes and just experiment and see. Sleep is so important. We've discussed this so many times.
So important. And we're talking to Dr. Kolawat on one of our episodes. And beyond nutrition, he said the second most important things in terms of metabolic health is probably sleep, which shocked me. I thought it would have been exercise. But he said, no, it's what you're eating. And then sleep is close second in terms of importance. But I'm going to try not to put too much pressure on myself to get the good night's sleep because then I won't. And then the final one was I decided just to eliminate added sugar, which I probably should have given myself a little bit of leeway in that resolution because I was doing well. My wife ordered these vegan candy bars from the UK, which I don't know why. The UK is like a hotbed for replicating US candy bars in a vegan form. And so as a kid, I love score bars, the ones that have like like a brittle in the inside of a chocolate candy bar.
Yum.
It was just so good. So I had to try one of those. And then, of course, as soon as I did, it's like, okay, that resolution's over. And here comes the added sugar. So it's an all or nothing thing with me, which I am working on. So I just went back to the grocery store yesterday. I got a bunch of the Sumo oranges, which are my favorite. So whenever I get that sweet craving, I'm going for a Sumo orange, which they are kind of sweet, but I don't mind. I'm getting some good fiber, some good vitamins every time I have one of those oranges.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's where I am on resolutions. But like I said earlier, resolutions have been a fascination of mine. Going way back to when I wrote my first book, I was looking, and one of the first things I charted, I used to analyze internet behavior for a sample of 10 million internet users, you know, all anonymized and aggregated. So I wasn't like looking at individual behavior, but aggregate behavior in the US. And one of the first things I noticed in analyzing that data set was that when people searched for diets, it peaked on January 1st, but that surge in searches only lasts for 4 to 5 days before it like plummeted by like 40, 50%.
Wow. And just 4 to 5 days?
4 to 5 days. And in writing that book, I came across this concept of false hope syndrome, which is tightly linked with New Year's resolutions. And I interviewed this professor at University of Toronto, Dr. Janet Polivy. I think she's a professor emeritus now at University of Toronto, but she did this wonderful experiment about false hope syndrome. And if you're wondering what that is, what she claims is that the act of making a commitment to change provides the person that's making that commitment with a temporary sense of control, and a sense of control that might be kind of out of alignment with your actual sense of your actual ability to control. It also allows you to forget previous failures. That sense of control will allow you to kind of like not think about the fact that, you know, you might have failed at this in previous years.
Yeah, the previous resolution.
Yeah, and resolutions is where this is like really applicable, because it's something that we repeat every year. And I know some people, including myself in the past, have made like specific resolutions about losing X amount of pounds or weight. And we come onto something new. We try and lose that weight, and you know, we maybe stumble upon a diet book or something, or a new diet regimen, and we are so excited in the first day of the new year, we kind of forget the fact that we did the exact same thing a year before, maybe different diet, but the same resolution, failed at it. So I got to tell you about this study that she did, which I wrote about in the book, which was fascinating. So she took just to show how strong this relationship is with your sense of control is. She did this study with 87 women. So she divided the 87 women up into three groups and put them in three different rooms. And each room, the first part of the experiment, the women were shown just an advertisement. The first advertisement that the room one looked at, the first group of women, said, lose 12 pounds in 1 week. And that's all they did. They just showed them an advertisement. The second room, they showed them an ad that said, lose 6 pounds in 1 week. And then the final room was lose 2 pounds in 1 week. So then the people conducting the experiment came into the rooms after showing them the ad, and that's all they did. And they said, this is a two-part experiment. We're actually doing a cookie tasting test as the next part of this test. So please follow me. So each group was put into another room, kept with their groups, and there were plates of cookies, freshly baked cookies throughout the room. They had been previously weighed before the people entered the room, and then weighed again when the subjects to the experiment left the room. And it was really fascinating that the group that ate the most cookies was the group that was shown the ad that said, lose 2 pounds in 1 week. The one that ate the middle amount was the 6 pounds in 1 week. The ones that ate the least were the ones that were shown the ad that says, you can lose 12 pounds in 1 week. And this is a great experiment to show that first part of the New Year's resolution, when you really have that sense of control, they went into it like gangbusters and like just had a little taste of the cookies and didn't finish them. Where the other group, 2 pounds in 1 week, they just ate like they normally would have and had a cookie. So that's a fascinating experiment. I'm really happy I could bring that up, because it's still to this day, I think is something we have to think about in New Year's resolutions, that if we start a resolution with something that might be a little unreasonable, it might give us initially a kind of a jolt of excitement and adrenaline that, hey, we're going to lose all this weight. This is great. But maybe it's smarter to start off with those resolutions that we can control. Like you did. Like, you know, a specific thing. I'm going to eat more fiber. That's a great, and more vegetables, more fiber. That's a great a great resolution. And you know, something that we focus in on at Cygnos, which is making these micro changes through our activities that we have.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. And you think about those that were shown lose 12 pounds, they go in, they eat like a tiny bite or maybe not even eat it. And then, you know, they're ready to go. And then what happens like the next day, maybe they have even more cravings, like they actually want that. And it just builds on the, it's just not realistic. But that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. So now I, you know, one thing I tell people is that the great thing about resolutions is you don't have to make them on New Year's. You can, you know, make them February 1st. And maybe if you've had a resolution, you're listening to the show, you had a resolution, it didn't really work out well for you. Maybe you had a specific weight loss goal. Now could be a time where you make a new resolution that's more manageable. So if our listeners are doing that, Alyssa, do you have any suggestions for them in terms of, you know, some resolutions that they might think about making?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I always say doing something that's going to really set you up for success. And something that we always talk about at Cygnos, like you mentioned, microbehavioral changes to where they become habits and it becomes sustainable, where it's not this all or nothing, or, you know, that doesn't work out. And we see that over and over and over again, especially when we think about all or nothing when it comes to food. We're bound to have you know, work events, family celebrations, going out with friends, and things are going to happen and life happens. So we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success. So I always say, you know, choose something that is realistic and that you can really be consistent with. And it doesn't have to be, this is actually the first year I did the more vegetables and more fiber. And this is something my husband and I were both like, this is what we want to do, because it's an easy way that we can actually put it into action. And I'm not saying like, if I don't get this number of servings of vegetables today, then I've failed. You know, as many as I can is going to be great. So, you know, I would say, you know, start small. Maybe it's just things that we talk about in our activities in the app, like changing up the meal order, or like you mentioned with your sleep, maybe it's just consistency and getting to bed on time, at a good time, not just during the work week, but also on the weekends, and staying consistent with that. I mean, have you seen any data within our members about the weekdays versus the weekends?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's so fascinating to watch. And this is another pattern that repeats. And if we look at just things like average glucose or our GRV or GV score, what we find is that people tend to have the best control of their glucose smack dab in the middle of the week on Wednesdays. And things kind of degrade on the weekend. And I guess you'd expect this, right? Because you're probably more into your routine during the week.
Yeah.
If you're working, you know, you've got things kind of planned out. Weekend comes along and that's the time for you to relax. And maybe it's time to go out more, see friends, maybe eating at restaurants more, probably more alcohol consumed starting Friday night and Saturday night also can throw things into whack or out of whack a little bit, but definitely see that repeating pattern by weekday.
Yeah.
Wednesday's so I think like, the best and Saturday is the worst.
That does not surprise me. I mean, so just like that, going to your resolutions, you know, let's say if you want to lose weight. So what are you going to do on the weekends when you want to go out with your family and friends, you know? So we want to make sure that our resolutions are, you know, something that is attainable and really setting yourself up for success. So being consistent on the weekends. And when it comes to it, not just your sleep or like your water intake, drinking more water, things like that can be great goals to set. But when it comes to food resolutions, I always like the idea of, you know, making a resolution or a goal of adding in something versus taking away something. So
that's interesting. I haven't thought of it that way before.
Yeah. And just let me know your thoughts on this. You know, this can, I think if you add something when it comes to food, it really helps like shift your outlook, you know, to something that you get to have and enjoy versus depriving yourself, to where you may, really focus on that food, or it can lead to cravings or even binging later on. So some examples of adding more food in is, like I mentioned, adding more fiber, adding more vegetables, experimenting with cooking, or just grabbing, a veggie tray from the grocery and keeping that in your fridge to kind of add to your meals. Other things are adding maybe some protein and some fat to your meals, or like if you're going to have a carbohydrate, we say, don't eat that carb alone. Pair it with some protein or some healthy fats to help stabilize your blood sugar. So adding that to your carbs. Another example I would say is, maybe just eating more whole foods. So adding more whole foods from the groceries, not the grocery store whole foods, but you can certainly shop there, but just adding real foods on the perimeter of the grocery store to your meals. Maybe not saying that, okay, I'm never going to have something with added sugar again, but if I'm going to have that, I'm going to make sure that maybe half of my plate is filled with, real whole foods and some protein and some vegetables. So you're adding to that to help, stabilize your blood sugar. And one other thing too that I've noticed in my own data is that if I am restricting or cutting something out and I'm, using Signos, I actually love experimenting. I know you do too. You are the king of all the experiments, but I actually have experimented with different carbs that I have previously cut out of my diet. But when I actually eat them, I don't have a huge glucose spike. So for an example, something recently were potatoes, and, even having like a breakfast that had like a potato hash in there actually had, not a huge spike at all. My glucose went up and it came back down, more of that rounded hill. So I'm using Signos and seeing, okay, you know what? I have been actually depriving myself, but I can actually tolerate this and enjoy this. So the whole idea of like adding more, and not coming from a place of like being too restrictive, because we want to make sure that, if you are going out and is celebrating with friends and eating this meal, which is going to happen, that is life, you can have that. And I want you to enjoy that. Let's say you mentioned like having a alcohol on the weekends. If it's a celebration, a good glass of wine, have it, drink it slowly or eat your food slowly, enjoy it. And just enjoy that meal, but also have some vegetables and some whole foods, real foods with that as well.
Why didn't I talk to you before I made these resolutions? Because you're so right. I did the opposite of what you're recommending, and it felt like deprivation. Like I'm depriving myself of added sugar. I would have probably still been on track had I made a resolution that was add something.
Yeah.
Because so you now it doesn't feel like bars. I'm deprived. Yeah. I'd have some fiber with that chocolate bar.
Exactly.
Absolutely. No, but I think that is a great suggestion. So I'm actually going to start February with some new resolutions. We'll check in next time we have you on. But I think I am going to steal a cup of yours. I'm going to steal the add fiber. I think another one I'm going to do, and I think this is a great suggestion for our Signos members out there that are listeners, is that if you go through all the activities in the app, there are some great things in there that are additive that you could use as New Year's resolutions. So
yes,
I think I'm going to go with adding more sunlight to my day.
Oh, that's important.
Yes. So I was doing this before I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit of getting up first thing in the morning, getting outside, doing the same thing.
This may help with your sleep.
Will help with my sleep. So Instead of doing the sleep resolution, I'll go with something additive, which is just adding some more sunlight.
Adding the sunlight.
Yes. Yep. And then I think the final one I think is for me is going to be adding more time to my meals. So instead of eating slower, I'm just going to add a little bit more time to enjoy, savor my meals. So thanks, Alyssa. That actually, I'm excited about these goals, but not to the extent that I have false hopes.
No false hopes.
I'm excited to try this from the other side of adding things versus taking away. I think that's one of the best suggestions I've heard on Body Signals. So thank you for that.
Well, you mentioned the activities, and I was thinking back through some of the activities, which I like to go back and revisit myself too. And I think of, a couple of things come to mind that, one would be the hunger dial and really just checking in first. And in making that connection, you know, not only looking at your glucose levels and how you're feeling at that time and how your appetite is, but just checking in to see, okay, am I eating for actual physical hunger? Is my stomach growling? Am I hungry? Do I want food? Or am I eating for all the other emotional reasons that we can think of? You're stressed, you're bored, it's routine, you're happy, you're sad. What is it? So even going back to that activity and even setting that kind of as a goal, to just give yourself a minute to check in and see why you're eating. I love that one.
That's a great one. And for our listeners who aren't Cygnos members and may not be familiar with what we're talking about, Cygnos provides an interface where you can see your glucose using a CGM and get some real-time feedback as to the glucose that's circulating in your system. And what Alyssa's talking about, something that has been a challenge for me, is that, you know, we eat for a variety of reasons. Hopefully, most of the time we're eating for physiological reasons because we're actually hungry, but sometimes we out of boredom or stress or situational reasons. And one of the things that's available in Cygnos is this fuel gauge and also a hunger dial, which allows you to see how much glucose is circulating in your system. And if you are thinking about eating something at that time, you could say to yourself, well, I've got enough energy actually circulating in my bloodstream to fuel me. And just pause for a second and ask the question, why am I eating? Am I eating because I'm really hungry or for some other reason? That little pause oftentimes is enough to interrupt eating for reasons other than being physiologically hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, if you're not wearing Cygnos, you know, just, you know, sometimes we see these routines happen where you get home from work and the first thing you do is go to the pantry, open up something or open up the fridge, you know, just even taking that pause, like you said, and checking in. And one other activity that I did want to mention, and this is something that you can try within our app or not, you know, just on your own without Cygnos, but it's the shifting your eating window, you know, experimenting with the timing of the day that you're eating, whether you're eating on the first part of the day or the second part of the day, and seeing what works for you. I think that can be really helpful in just managing our overall hunger and our glucose levels and getting better sleep. So I really like that one as well.
That is a great one as well. Something I practice. So I actually have a pretty early window. I stop at 5.
I'm sort of on the same way. I'm like, I was actually the opposite at first. You know, I would wait, I would get up and I'd be so busy in the morning and I wouldn't eat until like an early lunch and then stop eating later at night. And I actually tried the exact opposite where I just ate earlier, dinner earlier. And I have found that that works so well for me. I'm hungry first thing in the morning, so I want to eat something. I'm ready to go get my day going. I actually have breakfast before my coffee. And I have that. And then I stop eating. I mean, we eat an early dinner between 5 and 6. 6 is usually the latest. And then I stop and then I'm going to bed a little bit later. And I've noticed that even with my glucose levels, just like the stability of my glucose overnight, my fasting glucose has come down because of that. So that's been really helpful for me. And that pattern works really well. So, you know, I know that there's all different types of intermittent fasting out there, but really just experimenting and seeing what works for you. And this goes back to the comparison. It's so easy to compare ourselves to others. Like, this one person did this diet and they were so successful, and then you try and it doesn't work. So really giving yourself that grace and saying, okay, I'm going to experiment and see what works for me. And knowing that we are all so different, and we see this every day with our members using Cygnos, is that we have completely different responses to the same foods based on, you know, our lifestyle, our sleep habits, our exercise, our preferences for food, you know, so all of that ties into that. So really trying to stop comparing ourselves to others, and what works for others may not work for us. And just keeping that in the back of your mind when you're doing those resolutions as well.
Yeah, these are the great suggestions. And it's been a very impactful change for me, was that time eating window.
Yeah.
And shifting it sooner. I think it did help with my sleep, amongst a whole bunch of other things. So that's another great one to try. So Alyssa, I'm going to put you on the spot. Looking past New Year's resolutions, we were just looking at weight loss data. And one of our data scientists, Dimitri, he's our head ML guy, machine learning guy, was sharing with me what the top days during the year are for weight gain. So if we take away Thanksgiving and Christmas,
that was going to be my guess. Thanksgiving would be.
Is what that do you think one? Is the? I believe so. They're very close. But what do you think is also, when you take those two away, what's the third biggest day for eating? Not just eating, weight gain. So we looked, you know, anonymizing all of our data and just looking at average weight gain per member by day of year.
Valentine's Day?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, it's coming up. It's really close.
Oh, what is it? I know. Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah,
Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. And when Dimitri shared this with me,
wow,
it made complete sense. Because I normally in the past, now I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to it, but on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm eating almost the entire day and not stuff that is essentially kind to my glucose. I'm having all sorts of chips and salsa and beer and yeah, all sorts of stuff. So any tips for our listeners for Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, okay. So first things that come to mind, actually, we did a similar podcast on this over the holidays. And I think those same tips may help with Super Bowl Sunday. And I probably would have never guessed that, but my neighbors have been texting about, okay, what are we all going to do? And I'm like thinking, okay, what can I bring? So the first thing I would say is, if you bring something, you know, it's a potluck, then you know you have a healthy option there. We always talk about starting with fiber and vegetables. So at least some type of, you know, a veggie tray or a fun dip where you have chips, but then you also have sliced peppers or carrots or celery or something to some type of vegetable to use with that dip. So bringing an appetizer, bringing, you know, some type of food option that works within your eating style and something that you want to eat, I think is really helpful. So that's what I would say for bringing something, but also that consistency in that routine is going to be key. So making sure you're sleeping well, making sure you're exposing yourself to sunlight in the morning, eat your normal, you know, breakfast and lunch. A lot of people like to, you know, not eat all day and then they're starving and, you know, they're not going to go for that celery first thing. They're going to go for the chips. So making sure that you're just keeping your consistent routine can also be really helpful. And the alcohol, you know, the alcohol is going to also impact things and can impact your sleep. So, you know, making sure you're drinking a lot of water. And I would say for some of those foods, you know, enjoy them. But set up your plate, you know, real foods, whole foods, lots of veggies if possible, some protein, you know, try and stick to some of the proteins that aren't fried, and then just enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, just enjoy
it. I don't even know who's playing. So,
well, that was my next question is, are you going to be rooting for Kansas City or the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers?
Let's go with San Francisco.
That's the right answer. Okay. Yes. I spent 20 years in the Bay Area, so I have to.
Okay, that's why I went with them.
Okay, good. So I have to go with the 49ers. So good, we're both on the same. I hope we didn't offend any Swifties or any Kansas City fans. Great team. I think it's going to be a very close game just based on how the playoffs are going. So it's going to be a great game to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Before I let you go, one other thing that's coming up right after Super Bowl, of course, is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So,
this was my guess with like the biggest weight gain. I'm thinking of like all the sweets and the candies and a nice dinner. So,
you know, I've become addicted to dark chocolate ever since we started doing the dark chocolate experiments. So I'm not sure if you have any advice on Valentine's Day. But for me, one thing that we suggested in the past was people to test out different strengths of chocolate in terms of the percent of cacao. And see how it impacts their glucose if they're Cygnos members. And I think Valentine's Day is a great day to try that out, especially if you have a box of candies, go for the dark chocolates first and see how you do. And maybe wait a day and try some of the milk chocolates and see what the difference is. But, I've really, you know, the dark chocolates are somewhat of an acquired taste, but I now sort of crave them. And I think they've got all sorts of other health benefits.
Yeah. I would say try the dark chocolate and see if that's, you know, something that you are. I mean, I love dark chocolate, so I prefer that over milk chocolate, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of getting used to. Even my kids, they love dark chocolate. I think they prefer that too. You know, I kind of am sticking with like the 72%. So you can also experiment with like the 80% or even higher. And also the amount, which I've noticed too. So like, I'm really sticking to like, and I have a piece of chocolate every night, every single night. So I noticed that, you know, even keeping it the dark chocolate, you know, keeping it to one square or so, I get to really just sit down and enjoy that right after my meal versus in bed, you know, later on when I used to just eat chocolate or my dessert. Just on its own, I would see a huge glucose spike. But now having my chocolate at the end of my meal, you know, it's perfectly fine. And I get to enjoy that. And it is really fun trying all the different dark chocolates. I've kind of found my favorite, which is the dark chocolate with the little sea salt on top.
Yeah. You know, I found my favorite is actually this podcast is not sponsored by Whole Foods or Tonal. We just yeah. use these things. But in Whole Foods, they had a dark chocolate that was like really high. It was, I think, 85%, but it had mint in it. And the addition of the mint really made that dark chocolate really tasty.
Yeah.
So my new favorite. Well, Alyssa, so great having you back on. Thank you for these really helpful tips. I'm going to incorporate them in my February resolutions, and I'm going to add things instead of take them away. So thank you for once again adding some great insights and suggestions. We got to have you back on again soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm going to check in on you on your February resolution.
We'll do that. We'll do that next time we have you on.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Body Signals. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to our feed. Also, please share this episode with your friends. For those of you who are not yet Signos members, go to signos.com, signos.com, and use the code BODYSIGNALS, all one word, to get your 15% discount on Signos. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Body Signals. Thank you.